Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Glad that we're all back together here on a Wednesday for more of your listener questions. We get some great questions today, plenty of them heading your way, including questions about getting in to see Savvy's workshop pre-park opening at Disney's Hollywood Studios. How about doing a carriage ride over at Port Orleans Riverside? How do you book that? What's the procedure? Also, riding a horse over at Fort Wilderness. And other great questions concerning Christmas down at Walt Disney World. Where's the best place to see the resort decorations? How do you turn that into a full day with meals and such? Many more questions headed your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's show always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. One extra click does mean a lot to us. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out and thank you to our patrons. You guys allow this show to go out worldwide 3 to 4 times each and every week. I couldn't do it without you, so thank you so much for that. Our patrons also get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to get more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1938 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully you are doing well. You know we record these shows a couple of days ahead of time, so we have time to edit and get them all uploaded to the server and so forth. And I'm just thinking, because you guys know we record these shows on Monday evenings, and Tuesday's kind of a big day for all the Run Disney fans. So this show could find you super happy. You know, like today's your first day of training officially. You're ready to rock. I'm hoping that's how it finds everybody. But let's just say that is how it's going to find everybody. We're going to have a good time signing up for Marathon Weekend. And I hope you got all the races that you wanted. But we'll talk about that as the days and weeks and months go on. So let's think happy thoughts here as we get ready to register for the races as we're recording. So joining me today, we have my co-host, my good buddy, Scotty G, #ScottyG, who I run all the Run Disney races with. What's up, Scott?
Happy Wednesday. Happy to be back on another show today, Mike. And I hope everyone got the race they're looking for. Someone asked me today, like, what races are you going for? And, like, the full might not necessarily be on my radar right now. You know, I'm not in the best shape I've been in a long time. Like, I need to work on that. But, like, if you want to do more than one race, like, you're better off going for Dopey, because you can register for all of them at the same time. So that's my plan. Hopefully, I mean, I'm in Dopey as of the time of this listening.
Yeah, if you're not sure, just do Dopey. You know, you're going to get 6 shirts, 6 medals. You know, if you do that, you're going to get some ears at the end of the, you know, Sunday. And but I shouldn't say that, because that's what I'm going for. Everybody should just go for the full. You know,
just do one race. Yeah, just go for the 5Ks.
Exactly. Yeah, don't go for the Dopey. It's terrible. No, it's actually a lot of fun.
And it's 10 o'clock Central Time, right? No, I'm just playing.
I'm not even giving a time, because I don't want somebody coming at me if all of a sudden Run Disney changes it the last minute.
For real.
They want to come at me. So, yeah, just rundisney.com for all the details. Don't trust me. That's what I'm saying. I got it. Okay, before we get into the listener questions, we have some great listener questions. Also, our live chat. Thanks for being here. Ask your questions, please, in the live chat. We'll get those on the show. Today, last night as I was watching TV, I was watching Big Brother, which we're both big fans of. And there's a new Dr. Rick commercial, and it was made for us. I'm telling you, whoever Progressive, they listen to our show. Have you seen the new Dr. Rick commercial?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so he's like the guy that keeps you from turning into your parents. Mm-hmm. Set in an airport. Okay, so it's now set in an airport. It's got all this travel advice. First thing is, and it not really Disney related, but I mean, this one, it was scary. So he's showing everybody how to travel, right? Now, these folks that don't want to turn to the parents, of course, he's like, okay, let's check our boarding passes. And he pulls up his iPhone. Nope, all the other people have paper boarding pass. I still have a paper boarding pass every time I go. It's a backup, right? It's analog. It's not going to, if my phone crashes. I mean, okay, I wanted to ask you this, because I don't know if you're like your parents or if it's like me. I do grab, when I print out my bag tags, I always print out the passes too. I'm like, why not? I'll just, you know, in case my phone's not working. Do you go totally digital at the airport?
As of 2 to 3 years ago, I'm totally digital. I used to do the same thing. I when you're at the gate checking your baggage, do you want a boarding pass? I always say yes, but not anymore, man. I just trust the process. One less thing to worry about or dropping or losing somewhere. So I'm 100% digital.
Okay, here's the next thing he goes with. He says, you might be your parent if, when you take off, you share all the landmarks in your neighborhood with everybody around you on the plane. I do that every single time. Like, there's the bridge, there's Discovery Bridge. Oh, there's the mall. There's our subdivision. Every single time. I love that stuff. Do you do that?
I don't do that.
Oh my God. It's crazy. Okay. There was two more. And there was one where, now I don't think either one of us do this. Like, somebody's getting ready to buy some snacks at the airport where they're super expensive. And the lady had packed like peanut butter and jellies. I don't do that. I get Dunkin' Donuts. With the last one is it shows this lady, you know, like run into the gate, you know, with like her bag trailing behind her. And, you know, the lady in the seats is like, I should have left earlier. That's exactly me. I'm like, you should have got up earlier, sucker. Hurry.
It's funny.
Oh, my gosh. But I felt seen, as the kids say. I was like, this is not good. Anyway.
Going to the digital boarding pass, my concern was like, will TSA, like, find this legit? Like, I didn't worry about, like, the gate, like, the airline. I was worried about, like, security, but no, I saw a whole bunch of people doing it once. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try that going forward.
And awesome. I do that. I mean, I use my phone, but I always have the, I'm like, what? It doesn't cost me anything to print the sucker out while I'm printing out the stickers for my luggage. Yeah. So I always print it out, throw it in my pocket. And then I usually use my phone. Actually, you can use your watch too. I'm not that. Here's the thing. I don't want to be the guy that gets up there trying to use the latest technology that it not work. And then I'm holding up boarding the plane. That's like my worst nightmare. Cause I've seen it.
You remember one of the first times we went to Give Kids the World Village, we did one of those check presentations, and Ricky printed out like MapQuest instructions. She didn't use her phone. She actually like printed the instructions. Do you remember those from back in the day? They're like,
oh, yeah.
Drive 0.2 miles and turn right. And like, it would be like 6 pages of directions.
Totally. Well, I mean, Ricky's not turning into her parents. She's turning into like a grandma. I mean, she's beyond really? Those commercials.
Really? Let's be real.
That's how it is. I mean, she takes her desserts back in plastic bags. So anyway, Ricky will be back and she can defend herself. All right. So, let's hop into the list of questions. First question of the day comes from our good friend Jonathan Blankenship, one of the BOGP Lizards. And he's down in North Carolina. He says, hey, Mike, I enjoyed hearing about your recent golf experience while at the World. As one who also enjoys playing golf, I'm now intrigued about incorporating a round into a future trip. How about we end our dopey with a round of golf afterwards? Maybe. That'd be kind of fun.
Maybe.
He said, you mentioned the pro shops. Do you have to have a tee time to get in at the course and do a little browsing in their pro shop? Do you know if all the course pro shops are the same? If not, do you recommend one over another? And what do you recommend is the best mode of transportation, Uber or Lyft, I'm assuming? A big thanks, as always, from your friends here in Charlotte. So I thought this was a perfect one for you because we went to the pro shop when we played our round, but apparently I found out when you got home, you went back. It was so much fun.
I did go back. Time.
So how's that go?
I can't resist a good offer of buy one, get one half off on the merchandise, right? The apparel. So yeah. So I went back and I had the same thought as Jonathan. Like, so as most people know, like those, the two main courses, the Palm and Magnolia plus the Oak Trail are all like the station is at Shades of Green basically. So I'm like, man, how am I going to get in here? I don't have a tee time. Are they going to let me in? So I just rolled up to the gate with my rental car and just said, hey, you know, I golfed here a couple days ago. Can I go look at the pro shop? They didn't care about anything. I mean, and sometimes you see that with security, right? At a guard check, Mike, like sometimes like they want to drill you with like 10,000 questions. And every time they look at your ID and they just like send you on your
totally,
way.
It's such a crapshoot when it goes into getting into, you know, driving through one of those guard shacks because you're exactly, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, here, I'm going to chop off my index finger and hold it until I come back. I promise I'll come back for my index finger. It's my left hand. I'm a lefty. And then other times it's like, oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, but they were super cool about it, and even when you golf there, they have like a starter, like a golf attendant, like in front of the clubhouse, like saying like, hey, what's your tee time and all that. So I just explained to him like, hey, I'm just here to the shop, and they're like, oh yeah, come on in, do some shopping. I had my daughter with me, so she got to do the Mickey Cart photo shoot too, nice, you know, nice. Which is kind of awesome.
The one we drove for all 18.
The one we drove, yes, the one we drove.
Just kidding.
So yeah, you can definitely do it if you're not. My two suggestions, if you don't have a rental car, would be like a Lyft or Uber, right, to like Shades of Green, or there's the other course is at Saratoga Springs, so you could always take a bus from like a park, like so if you're at a park or whatever or Disney Springs, and you're thinking, hey, I want to check out the gift shop or the pro shop, just take a bus from a park, but then you have to figure out how to get back, which might be an Uber or a Lyft from from Saratoga back to your next destination, but that's always an option.
Right. So he's asking too, because we haven't been to Lake Buena Vista Golf Course since 2018 for me, Marathon Weekend. Yeah. I would say that the pro shop at the Magnolia and the Palm was better. I mean, it was definitely their kind of hub, but the Lake Buena Vista had some stuff, but it was definitely bigger over there.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're looking for like course specific merchandise, like you got to go to whatever the respective golf pro shop is, because when we're at Shades of Green, you couldn't find anything for Lake Buena Vista specific, like shirts or golf balls or anything like that. So you have to go to the other pro shop if you're looking for something specific. But if you're just looking for the general merchandise, like, club covers or, you know, the awesome Mickey polos, hats and things like that, you'd be able to find it at either one.
Yep.
But I would recommend the Shades of Green because that is like the bigger store for sure.
One other thing I would say too is when the Polynesian monorail opens back up, and we hear that's going to open up probably in August. So definitely probably by Marathon Weekend, I would assume you can get off at the Polynesian and walk over to Shades of Green, which is where the golf course is. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be easier to take an Uber or Lyft, but if you want to stick with strictly Disney transportation, it's doable. You can walk.
That's great. So. Yep, that's a great option. Because I ran around the Polynesian, and even when you're running, there's a way to get over there, right? So, like that's a great option too, Mike.
All righty. Oh, I gotta say this. I totally forgot, and I can't believe I forgot this. I need to send a huge 18th birthday shout out to Ella Layton down in Arkansas. Her birthday is this week. She's a big fan of the show. I'm a big fan of hers because she is an Epcot fan. She knows more about Epcot than I could ever wish to know. Of course, Dr. Kaiser, Dad, just great folks, great supporters of the podcast. So I wish her a very, very happy 18th birthday. God, I wish I was 18 again. You have the whole world in front of you. You know, it's like it's all the rearview mirror for me at this point. Bad knees.
That'd be
bad
pretty
back.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And to like have gone to Disney as often as she has and had like all the Epcot knowledge at 18. Man, I'm jealous. I wish I could go back in time.
When I was 18, I just called it the golf ball and I'd only been to the Magic Kingdom for half a day. That was my extent of my Walt Disney World experience.
So speaking of golf, that's a big miss right there too, right? Couldn't they like make like a clubhouse golf ball that's like Spaceship Earth?
That's a great idea. Oh, could you imagine? Like, I mean, they should do that at the mini golf places at least, right? A little, you know, what color do you want? Oh, I want Spaceship Earth.
I want the Spaceship Earth ball.
That's they'd be stolen is what it is. Everybody be stealing those suckers.
That's problem. I mean, they could sell them at the Epcot gift shops easily, like at like $5 a piece.
Oh my God. We give Disney so many great ideas. That is the best. That is the best marketing idea ever. Just Spaceship. Everybody calls it the golf ball. That's perfect. Yep.
So just come home with a golf ball, Spaceship Earth. It's genius.
Yeah, get a little stand is like the four legs, right? You put it
or
on
like
the desk.
Or they could be like golf tees somehow.
Oh my God, stop! It's just not right. It's so easy. Come on, Disney. All right, here we go. We got one from Amy at the Run Eat Drink podcast. I have a question about Coronado. We are staying in the tower at the end of August. Thanks to you, Mike. Well, thanks to you, Amy. How do you make the most of the stay at Coronado if the goal is to fully enjoy the resort and not so much the parks on this trip? Must-do lists for food, drinks, pool time. Thanks for all you do, Amy and Dana. The Coronado is a great place to really just take it in. Now, I know that you recently went to Three Bridges. That's the one thing I haven't done at Coronado, and you were raving about it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I recommend going earlier in the day. So I think you talked about this on a previous episode, Mike, like the finding food options late at night after the parks are closed is really difficult to do.
You'll starve.
And it was the night we were at Epcot actually with the Andersons and we closed it down. You know, we went to La Cava and I realized on our way home, like we haven't had dinner yet, like just some chips and guac basically. So I'm like, where can we eat? And like Three Bridges was open to midnight. So boom, we got in there like at 11 o'clock.
This is so great. I love it. Roll in at like 11 o'clock.
And like, it was hopping though. I mean, it was more like adult cocktails was the thing. Like, but the menu was still open, you know? So Emily got like a burger. I got like a Greek salad or something. And it was awesome. Like just the atmosphere, just being in that place is super cool. Day or night. Like you can't lose there. Maya Grill is reopened. Mike, yes. We got to experience that. So that's a big recommendation for me is Maya Grill.
And the menu's way better than it was previous. I mean, it's back to kind of where it was at the beginning. I liked it.
Yeah. But then talking about the pools. So there's some great quiet pools at Coronado. Like I love quiet pools, but I also love the feature pool because that's where like you're going to see like all the fun and all the like action, right? Is at the main pool. So definitely take time to be at the quiet pool, relax, enjoy that moment. But definitely go to the main pool, the dig site. And what's cool there, they have a great, like a counter service restaurant with great food offerings there too. They got margaritas, if that's something that you enjoy. And there's a secret table. If you sit at it and you look the right way, you can see Expedition Everest, yes, which is can. Always one of my, yeah. my favorite places to sit.
Totally. I know exactly the table you're talking about. I think the place is called the it's poolside bar. That's called like the Siesta. Something. It's two words, yep. but something Siesta. But yeah, and they have great empanadas because you wouldn't expect they have hot food. Now, they don't have a big menu, but I mean, you can get like frozen margaritas and order empanadas by the pool. Oh. Dude, what else?
Yeah, and they have like your, if you have kids with you, they have like chicken tenders, you know, things like that too, which is always kind of good poolside, right? I'll take some chicken tenders and a margarita all day.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and they have a good Fiesta one. So plus also, just so you know, I like Coronado for runners, and obviously I know Amy and Dana are runners. They have two fitness centers, Markham 2, one in the Casitas, one in the Tower. So if, because, you know, you never know, like you got to get a run in, it's raining, you don't, you know. I was at Pop Century the day that hurricane came in. I almost ran out there and looked like a fool. I just walked around. I'd love to have a treadmill that day, so that's nice. Barcelona Bar is very fun right there in the Tower.
Yep. I want to say there's a Census there, too, if Census spas are reopening. I don't know when that will happen, but I'm almost certain there's a Census spa at Coronado, too.
I don't think it's Census, but I think there is a spa over by the Casitas. I know what you're talking about, but I don't
think it's right by the Casitas. Yeah,
it's right by the Fitness Center. Census? Okay. Yeah, I think it's like a light one. I think Animal Kingdom Lodge has one of those, too.
Gotcha. But that's always a great option. Like, you know, like, hey, I've been going hard on this vacation. I'm relaxing, trying to enjoy the resort. Why not get a massage?
Oh, man. I had one at the Grand Floridian after my first full marathon. It was like it was in 2015. I talk about a fish out of water, man. That place was so, I mean, trust me, the massage felt good. I fell asleep in like 10 minutes, so I really wasted my money.
Oh, yeah.
Pam got it for me anyway for something, Christmas or something. But, yeah, it was just, I was exhausted.
It's the most expensive nap you ever pay for, right? Because that's how massages are.
In the first 10 minutes was like, okay, you know how sore you are the day after a 26-mile run when you're really, because I really wasn't in that great of shape back then. And not that I am now, but like she's pushing on those muscles. I'm just like, back off, because you know they ask you what kind of massage. I'm like, dude, I didn't know there was more than one kind of massage. I don't know, I just ran a marathon, and she's just trying to hurt me, you know. It's like, come on.
That's one thing I haven't done. That's like a bucket list item for me, just like to book a massage at Walt Disney World. That'd be awesome.
It was kind of awesome. I wore the robe. It was weird.
But in the end, Coronado is just an awesome place. There's so many things to do at Coronado, and it's not even like fully open yet. Like the restaurant upstairs isn't open yet, you know, but so we're getting there though.
Yep. We're getting close. Okay. Thomas Hildebrand's got a quick question. My favorite kind of question. I have a multifamily trip in the middle of December with three kids. It'll be under three. God help you.
Ooh, three under three.
We would like to all attend the new Christmas party. My question is, if one group has to stay at the hotel during the after party with the kids, can the groups go to the party at different times? Or do you have to go at the start of the party in order to get in? So I think Disney will let you get in at any time you like. But I mean, it's a I think they said you can get in starting at around 7 with those tickets if you don't have theme park tickets for that day. So I would go then. But I mean, they're going to let you go in anytime you want. But bang for your buck, you're going to want to be there as long as you can, I would say.
Yeah, as long as you have a ticket for the event, you can get in at any time. It's just a matter of how much value do you want to get out of that ticket. I understand the situation, though. Three under three, like, not that would be tough. So, and some might need a naps or extra rest.
What I want to know is what they're getting the person who is being the martyr and staying back with the three kids under three and not getting to go to the Christmas party. I mean, that's something big. I mean, I don't know what you're getting them, but that's got to be pretty sweet. Okay. Back to the inbox. This one just came in 2 days ago. So it's Mike for President's the title. So here we go. It just says, you've got my vote.
Sure, it has something to do about our freestyle Coke machine.
It does. It says, here's all it says. You've got my vote, Mike. I hate freestyle Coke machines. Loved hearing about the July trip. Lindsay. Okay, well, there you go. I got one vote.
I hate them too, but I'll tell you one thing. The one thing I like about them is I like drinking Diet Coke when I'm down there. And I love just adding that little cherry flavor, making it like a cherry Diet Coke. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like you can't do that anywhere else at Disney except for a freestyle Coke machine.
But. That's a good point. Now, my wife, like, she swears she has to, like, clear the machine. She says it tastes like the previous soda. She runs it a little bit. And I'm like, it's good if you have the unlimited. Like, we had the unlimited mugs this time, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful down at Disney because you don't want to use one of your refills. I mean, because
maybe run it with water, because I think you can always do water, maybe.
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't care. I'm just like, yeah, a little bonus Mr. Pibb or
whatever. But yeah, they're terrible, though. Let's just get rid of them. They have them at the DVC lounge and at Epcot, too. But I mean, now you have to go to a cast member. They get it for you, but it takes forever. Because they have to hit all the buttons, you know, and then they hand you like a 4-ounce cup.
If you get behind an 8-year-old heading into the freestyle machine, you got to take the kid out before they get there. Because, I mean, I'm serious. You will dehydrate before an 8-year-old, because that's like the greatest thing ever. They're like, they get up there and they push Coke and they're like, oh, no, I want Coke. I'm going to get Sprite. Oh, no, don't want Sprite. Oh, then there's 17 kinds of Sprite. You know, there's like orange Sprite and purple Sprite. Oh, forget it.
And then they make up their own custom 8-year-old flavor. Like, I'm going to put this cherry lime Sprite orange with root beer.
It's like, kid, I just want a Coke Zero. Just straight Coke Zero. Move out of the way. Anyway. Yeah, kids. Okay, next question from the inbox from Tom in Maryland. Says, hey, BOGP crew, Mike has been helping me plan a trip for November for a stay at the Yacht Club. Thanks so much. We planned the trip a while ago, but as it turns out, Wine and Dine Run Disney event will be happening while we're down there. My wife and I are not runners, but in one of your recent shows, you talked about people cheering on the runners, and it sounded like a lot of fun. I know nothing about these races, so what time, what day, and what location would be best for cheering on the runners and getting a taste of that race day excitement? Love the show, and thanks for all you do. Tom.
He's at the location for the 10K.
No, like,
he's at the perfect spot.
But I don't want to give him the bad news of what time he's got to roll out of bed.
Oh, yeah. I told him the good news that he doesn't. All he has to do is roll out of bed because he's there. But you tell him what time, Mike.
Well, we think that the 10K will go through the Boardwalk Beach and Yacht Club. It usually does. 10K is usually, you know, they go through. They start actually in the Epcot parking lot. They run out on that road right outside of Epcot. Then you come back in through Epcot. Through the beach, yacht, and boardwalk area, then you exit through Epcot and you're done. So if you want, so you could really just kind of stand, you just go out to that path by Stormalong Bay, kind of where the flying jib, like when you got across that path to get on the slide. We usually run right through there. I would say make a sign. They're kind of fun. You don't have to do that, but they are fun. But if you want to cheer on the runners, typically the runners will be coming through there about 6:30 or 7. So, I mean, grab a pastry maybe the night before, some coffee you can make in the room. And it is fun, though. I mean, I'm a runner, but even if I wasn't, I would think it would be pretty exciting because, I mean, you see costumes, you see everything. I would definitely encourage you, you know, just go out there for a half hour, see how it is.
Yeah. I'd recommend around 6 o'clock. Like, those speedy guys, they don't need cheer. They don't need spectators. That's true.
They don't care. They're zoned out. They don't.
Unless you
want
to see some really fast people get out there earlier. Yeah. But the people that really want the cheering and are going to like really like take that energy from you are going to be those that are later in the day for sure.
Right.
And by later in the day, we mean like 6:30, 6:45.
Exactly. No, the runners, I mean, I'll personally, and I know you feel the same way, like the runner or the cheer folks being out there means the world to us because, I mean, that's the difference between like a run that I do around my lake or you running around your neighborhood and what we will go to Florida for. It's so cool to have people cheer your name and, you know, just cheering you on with a cowbell or something. So please do go out there. And if you see us, yell, you know, we'd love to.
And I'll say there is opportunity for the half marathon is, I mean, this is all saying without knowing if there's any course changes or anything like that. But historically speaking, I believe the half marathon for Wine and Dine should kind of go there. Through there too, that'll just be later in the day around a normal time, like 9 o'clock or so. That you still might maybe like 8 o'clock, really. Because the races do start early. Man, I forget how early those start. It's been a while.
So early. All right. Question in the live chat. Thanks so much. Liana says two questions. One, how far in advance do you need to book the carriage rides at Port Orleans Riverside? We tried while we were there last trip and they said there was no availability. So I've never done them. I mean, I've seen them, and I stay at Riverside a lot. I thought they were just kind of like walk up, like, you know. But I guess maybe not. Have you ever ridden the carriage?
I've never done it either. I saw that question pop up in the chat, and I was hoping that you would answer and have the answer because I wanted to know myself.
What I would do
is
seems
like an awesome thing.
I know. You know what? That's one of those things that even if you don't do it, it makes the resort better. Like I love when I'm staying, say, in the princess rooms, and you can look across the Sascagoula River and you see that path, and like you can hear the clip clop of the horses' hooves. Like it's just that sound and that visual. Even if they didn't take anybody around for a ride, just makes the resort better. I love that. But, you know, my best advice there would be just when you arrive, you know, on your first day, just go up to the person and say, hey, look, you know, what's the procedure? Because it could have changed. Yeah. And just, you know, hey, I want to ride them. So, what, you know, when can we do this?
I was going to say maybe call Disney ahead of time, too. But, like, who knows? You might get different answers. Who knows? Right. So, working with the resort directly might be the best option.
Yeah, I would say kind of sketch. I mean, just because I talked to Disney. And that's one of those things that I doubt they have, like, a, you know, like an answer to. You know, like in some kind of.
There's not, like, an actual guide. Like, yeah, all right, exactly. FAQ guide. Yeah, all right, that's, here's the Porter Reef.
I don't think the horse carriage ride made the FAQ. It should. But I'm just saying those kind of things usually slip through the cracks. Because they're like, wait. They have horses at Riverside. That's what a cast member will tell you. What? Yeah. Never mind. Okay.
Remember when they used to have boats that you can rent out too? Like, didn't you do that
once? Oh yeah, dude. I drove one. I'll have to post a picture. Yeah, that was back in the day. Yeah, it was fun. Were you on there with us?
I was. I think it was Steve. I think Could you imagine us doing it now with our captain hats and all that?
Oh, yeah, man, no, dude. That's, we're licensed. We have the hats. Okay, number two. How far in advance can you reserve a horseback riding 45-minute ride for 9-year-olds and older at Fort Wilderness? Thanks. Loved looking at all of your photos from the trip. Both of us. Thanks so much. So I think, though, the horseback riding you can book at WDW Play. Sorry, 407 WDW Play. And I think you can do that 60 days in advance. I would call that one. I'm pretty sure you can book ahead of time.
Yeah, that's more popular. That's more of a common thing for sure. I love the idea of like bringing horses. I'm guessing there's a kid in the family that might like horses or something like that. So that sounds like some fun ideas to do an extra activity while at Walt Disney World.
Or they're just a bandit and they just, you know, they go around with like a mask and ride a horse and they just, you know, yeah, gotta have a little taste on their vacation. I don't know. I don't judge. So there we go. Here we go. Eric Lane, our good buddy up in Connecticut. Have either of you ever tried resort room service? I know it's only at Deluxe and others just deliver pizza and called in-room dining, but I've never seen anyone talk about it. Okay, I've never done it. I haven't either. I've done on cruise line because it's free.
I'm about to say cruise line. Like, I'm very familiar with that. But, like, isn't, like, the pizza, too, like, when the dining plan is in normal use, like, two credits for a pie, man.
Yeah,
it's, like, the biggest ripoff, I feel.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. That's not. No. But, you know, I've heard people use it, and they enjoy it. I mean, it's just one of those things, like, I mean, dining is an essential part of both of our trips, so usually not going to eat in the room because I want to eat, like, I want the experience of eating at a Garden Grill or a Beer Garden or a Whispering Canyon. But I mean, the people that do it, especially if like you have a little kid and you're just trying to get some grub, I mean, I've never heard any bad things about it. But cruise line, it's the best because just throw it, you know, get a tip and you're good. And
we were close to doing it once, Mike. Now I kind of wish we would have done it just for research when we were at Coronado. Remember we had that trip where Mallory got sick the second she got home, and we stayed back because Emily was sick and we had a flight issue and we didn't go anywhere. Like, so I thought about ordering room service that night just to try it, right? Because we didn't go anywhere, but I think I ended up like picking up Pepper Market counter service or something like that.
Remember
I'm curious to know how that goes.
Remember those chocolates they gave you?
The tequila ones? Yes.
Yeah, that's all I remember about that because you sent me some, I think. They were good.
Yeah, I did send you some. Or I gave you some because the Indie Disney was like shortly after.
Right.
That,
so I just remember somehow I got them and it was from that trip because they gave them to you or something. It's kind of a like, you know, we feel bad for you. We're trying to.
Dude, they were awesome. They gave us like a voucher to like buy any clothing or anything or drinks and stuff that we wanted from the gift shop. Coronado. I mean, Disney in general, but like I've had really great service at Coronado over the years for cool stuff like that.
Same. I love that resort. So there you go. I mean, Amy and Dana, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, if you get sick, like you might get some free merchandise.
Don't get sick. Don't get sick. I mean, yeah, but if you do, it's sick. Not a bad place. Jennifer here in just down the road from me here in Missouri says, on the responding, I guess, to the room service, she says, it worked well pre-pandemic at Yacht and it was decent. One recommendation for any hotel room service is that you can call your order ahead if you know when you want your food. I usually order breakfast the night before and then just make sure in the morning the order is on schedule just to be safe. Room service seems to take a lot longer these days, as does everything, right?
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like a good idea.
No, that's some good feedback. I like that instant feedback right there.
I do. She's on it. That's cool. I don't know if it was on Cruise Line or maybe at a different hotel, but I do remember them hanging like a door hanger on a room a couple of places where if you wanted breakfast, it'd be on your door like at night. So you would fill it out and you'd leave it on your door by like 10 p.m. and they'd pick them up and then your breakfast would come.
It's magic.
Yeah, it is. That'd be great, though. Oh, my gosh. All right. My friend Lauren Cross down in Dallas, Texas says, hello, Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Scott. My husband, best friend, and I are taking our 8-year-old nephew, Coven, down for his first trip at the end of September. He's a huge Star Wars fan. So building a lightsaber at Savi's workshop is a must for him. I got an 8:25 a.m. reservation for him to build a lightsaber. Disney has the Hollywood Studios hours posted as 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Since our reservation is at Savi's before opening of the studios, I'm assuming that we will be allowed to enter earlier than the opening of the park. Is this correct? Thanks for helping me fill the Disney void with all the great podcasts. And thanks to Mike for helping me book the perfect trip for my nephew, my husband, my best friend, and myself, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate your support. And yeah, you have hit the jackpot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, when you get one of those pre-opening park reservations, I mean, just, you know, best advice, have the camera ready because you're going to get to see Galaxy's Edge like few get to see it, you know. And also, you know, the all the way down, you know, like, Hollywood Boulevard, yeah.
Going down Hollywood Boulevard. Yep, that's awesome.
Cruise through Toy Story Land. If they will kind of let you, they'll guide you in a certain way. But yeah, that's why I always try to get a Magic Kingdom pre-park opening reservation for something,
yep.
Just to get some pictures.
One of my favorite photos is we had the Norway breakfast like at like 7:30 in the morning, something ridiculous like that once. And like it was a really foggy morning, so I had this awesome like foggy shot of like Spaceship Earth with like no one around it. It is so cool, man. Like the photos that you can get from those early park reservations are super cool.
You get something like that though, people think you photoshopped it because there's no people.
Right, I know, right?
Stuff like that. I know. It's like, no, for real. I got lucky. This is a good one. All right, let's see. Kelly Arnold's got a question here about Thanksgiving Day. Hey, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Scott, thanks for all you guys do and for the continuing the show during the shutdowns. The show is a bright spot during a very stressful time. Well, thank you. It helped me because that gave me something to do every night when you couldn't do anything else. She says, I'm going down with my family at Thanksgiving for the first time. To give some background, we go to Disney World every year and bought into DVC during the COVID shutdowns. I don't want to be in the parks on Thanksgiving, but I want to do something really memorable with my family. My idea was to start with a family lunch at a resort, maybe Whispering Canyon, and then hop on the monorail and do a monorail tour of the resorts to see their Christmas decorations, gingerbread houses, tri-seasonal snacks and drinks, etc. And then go and then in somewhere for dinner. Do you feel that there is enough to see around the monorail resorts for my kids, they're 8 and 10, to find this fun all afternoon? I want it to be as stress-free as possible and just have fun together getting into the holiday spirit. We bought points at Animal Kingdom Lodge, so I thought it would be nice to have dinner at our home resort to close out the day. Are there any resorts outside of the monorail resorts that are must-see resorts for their Christmas displays? We're staying the first half of the week at Old Key West and then moving to Animal Kingdom Lodge on Thanksgiving through the weekend. Thanks for any pointers you have for making this a memorable holiday, Kelly. I love this idea because
that's awesome.
It is going to be less stressful than fighting the crowds and, you know, the Magic Kingdom say. So what would you say for the, I like this idea. And the question though, about the 8 and the 10-year-old being cool with it all day. I think if you give them the expectation that you're not going to a theme park ahead of time, they'll be cool with it. Cause you can really keep them busy. But I mean, if they were wanting to go to the, you know, ride Space Mountain, that could be a tough sell.
Yeah. As long as like, yeah, you set the expectations, like this is what we're going to do this day. We got this meal planned, like sounds like you have a great, I like the Wilderness Lodge, like Whispering Canyon, like lunch idea. I've actually had lunch there on Thanksgiving Day myself one year, which is pretty awesome. They had like turkey on the skillet. I can't say that that's what they'll do when you go, but chances are that's probably pretty good.
Probably, yeah.
But another area to review or to check out, like I know you're going to say this too, Mike. I love the Boardwalk area of resorts, like Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach. Like they do some really cool stuff around the holidays as well. And being Thanksgiving, because usually, God, I want to say like this is all pre-COVID, but like, you know, the Christmas decorations would start to sprinkle in like around early November, like right after Halloween. But like once you get to Thanksgiving, most resorts are going to have their trees up and things like that. So that'd be a great time.
Let me add one other twist. I would stick probably to the monorail resorts, especially if you're going to have Whispering Canyon, because you're in that area. And, you know, the Epcot resorts are great, though. I mean, if you can get over there, do that. But here's the thing I think you're missing out on is going over to Fort Wilderness. Take that boat across. I'm telling you, it sounds hokey, but it's like you'll see it all over there as far as Christmas decorations, because these are decorations that guests themselves bring from all over the country and all over the world. Some people with their motorhomes and their tent sites. I mean, it's like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but on steroids. And here's one thing we did. I don't know if you did this with us, Scott, that one year. Remember we rented the big wagon? I mean, there were like 40 of us on the wagon, and we went around on this horse-drawn big wagon. Like, it was like 40 people on the wagon. Maybe 30. I mean, it was a big wagon, but I mean, you can rent out smaller wagons for the family, and that would be really cool.
That'd be cool because you get to see all the sights, right? It's a good way to do it. And then just even like seeing the golf carts. Remember when we were there this last couple weekends ago, and like some of the golf carts were just even outstanding. And I just imagine like around the holidays that people are really decking them out to the holidays and Christmas. So that'd be really awesome. That's a great suggestion. And maybe get a meal over there too. You know, that's always a good option.
Oh yeah. That's good. That's really, oh my gosh. We have a question here in the live chat, Scott. Did we meet Grumpus on this trip? Now I'm feeling like I might have a name. I might be connecting dots. I don't know.
I'm trying to connect some dots because I was asked on Instagram a couple times too, like, hey, is Grumpus going to be there? So trying to figure out who Grumpus is if anyone has any inside information, please, you know, share to me and Mike who Grumpus is, because maybe we've actually already met him.
I'm sure
maybe Grumpus
have.
Is Wade.
Apparently, so for folks that don't know, and most of you probably don't know, we kind of get trolled by this character named Grumpus on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and we have no idea who Grumpus is other than that his or her. I mean, I'm guessing it's a him, but I don't know. But I mean, their picture was the big Lotso bear, right?
It's the Lotso bear. And, you know, they would send some interesting comments from time to time on our responses. And then once I just kind of got like a little frustrated, like, who are you? And they're like, I'm just someone that likes to follow interesting people. I thought it was a good response. Because you and I are, I mean, we're kind of interesting, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. We talk about it all the time. We're always trying to figure it out. Anyway.
But so now, like, it's been going on for like 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. And the mystery is still out there on who Grumpus is. They haven't tweeted in a very long time. So I hope they're still here with us.
I hope they are, too, because it's funny that this person doesn't have a profile pic.
I know. So I thought that, too. Like, this person does not have a profile picture, and they're asking about Grumpus. Same thing happened on Instagram. It might be the same person. I'm going to check after the show.
I'm going to have to do a little sleuthing. All right, next question. Hey, Mike, Pick, Ricky, and Pam. My family of six has been eagerly anticipating our next Walt Disney World trip since our last one was in November of 2017. We're excited to be going for the 50th celebration and at the same time celebrate my husband's 50th birthday. Let me think. Your husband was born in 1971. I love that. I can do it. Probably a good chance. There's at least like 10 out of 12. As part of the celebration, my husband and 16-year-old son will hopefully be running the half marathon in January. Fingers crossed for signups July 27th. Actually yesterday, by the time this comes out, which will be our first full day. We have park reservations for Epcot. I have a few questions about how to make the most of the first day. Number one, what are some of your must-dos while running the half marathon course? It'll be my son's first half marathon to run, and I thought it'd be fun to take advantage of all the Disney run hoopla you can't get with any other race. What may be a few stops they should make on their way for pictures or whatever? I have ideas, but here's the thing with this year. We don't know what it's going to look like post-COVID. I mean, right now there's no character meet and greets, so there may be, and what I'm guessing is it'll be the same as in the parks, like with socially distant selfies, which that's the only thing I've ever done with characters because I don't want to wait in the line. Like 1,000 people pass you in 5 minutes if you wait in the line. I don't know how people have the patience to do that. But I do like to swing by, get pictures, and then maybe not even selfies, just take pictures of what's happening. But I don't know, what do you think for somebody's first race? Because there's a lot going on. I mean, there's a different sort of run Disney race.
Definitely something they have to do in their first race. I don't do this. After a race, I'm like, dang, why didn't I do that? Or I only did it for a couple of them. And I know a lot of our lizards, especially our Corral D group, you know, that Chris Lively, Phil, and all of them always do. They always take selfies with the mile markers, which I think is a really cool thing to do. Because they're usually like decorated to like some type of character. And it's kind of cool. Like, you don't really have to stop for it. You know, you're just kind of running. You go up there, snap, take a selfie. So if you're doing the half marathon, get like all 13 mile markers, I think would be a really cool thing to do. And then I just try to find like cool signs that I like on the road. Like, there's a sign that has like the Epcot with the arrow pointing to Epcot, or an arrow pointing to Magic Kingdom, like on the World Drive. I love taking the selfie with that because that's one of the cool signs. And like, you're never going to like hop out of your vehicle and take that selfie, right? That's the only chance you're going to get to do it. So.
Yeah, that's when you're a Disney nerd, though. You're like, I got to get my picture by this road sign that's purple.
Yeah. So I look for road signs a lot. I mean, it's a little bit out of the path, so I don't know if they're going to be running for like a PR or a time. I think you should always just run for a PR and fun when you're doing a Run Disney race. You know, just enjoy it. So that's why I like to go off course a little bit. Not too off course, but like go off course a little bit and take a selfie with some of the signs.
All right. Number two, where's the best spot for us to cheer them on and where do we meet up at the end? So the best spot, I would say, again, probably the Boardwalk Beach Club Yacht Club area, because, and I like the Boardwalk the best. If you can get in, you got to kind of work the guard shack. But the reason to go to the Boardwalk is if you get there early enough, you can get like a muffin at the Boardwalk Bakery. I've done this when I've cheered. You stand outside the Boardwalk Bakery, you have coffee, you have all the goodies at the Boardwalk Bakery while you're waiting for somebody to come by.
I don't know if the half for January goes through there, though, because the courses could change.
Oh, yeah, the half doesn't go through there in January. Yeah. We've
talked about wine and dine.
You're right. So Epcot parking lot, maybe. Like over by the bus area.
Near the end. So, yeah, like around mile 12-ish or so. You can, that's a good spot to be if you want to be near the end, or the TTC is another good spot to be like early on in the race.
Yeah,
but that's super early. Yeah. It'd be awesome to see you early, but they're going to see so many fans already out there, like spectators. It's going to be so awesome. They're going to be pumped up then. I think when they hit the like mile 12.
For real.
Just getting either like almost there. It'd be so great to see a loved one at the Epcot parking lot. That would be my guess.
My shirt right here, for those that are watching the video, says every mile is magic. I have a Run Disney pullover on, but miles 12 and miles 25, not so magical. Just saying. It's false advertising. You're like,
I was gonna say, for the full, it's like miles like 17 to 24.
Dude, they're not even close to magical. They're just punching you in the nose the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay, number three, my other kids, they're 9, 12, and 14, are going to be chomping at the bit to get to the parks. Any recommendations on how to plan that day? Will we be getting into Epcot late because of the race or early? So you can actually cheer the race in Epcot pre-opening, but I mean, I'm telling you what, like until that race ends, there's like a traffic. I don't even know how they're going to do it this year, because now that I think about it, all the places where they, you know, you'd like switch lanes every 2 minutes and like everybody kind of herds across this way and that, all that stuff is dirt right now. So I don't even know how that's going. They might not go through.
We're saying, we're giving all these answers based on previous race courses. Like the course could be completely different. It could just be like 13 laps around the ball field at World of Sports.
That's exactly right. It'll be 13 laps around Hourglass Lake.
They're going to station everyone in like 10 different spots.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Like, all right, Corral A is going to be at Pop. Corral B is going to be here.
Well, so when I used to speed skate, one of the drills we did was called Pursuit. And so the way it would work is you like, okay, so everybody started about 10 meters away from each other, and you started on a whistle. We're on a short track. We're on a 110 meter track. And if you got passed, you were eliminated from the race. But if you passed somebody else, you eliminated them. I mean, that was a hardcore drill. So maybe it's going to be like a 13.1 mile pursuit. You get passed, you're just, see ya.
If that's the case, I'm not going to register.
Me too. I'm like, well, that was fun. Thanks. Thanks, Georgia.
And only one person gets a medal. There's actually going to be a winner.
Yeah, there'll be one. Yeah, that's the last man standing. I'll be told, the last woman, because I'd be getting passed by the ladies for sure. Okay, question number four. We'd like to make a special dinner reservation for that night to celebrate the completion of the half and my husband's 50th birthday. It'll be my family and my brother and sister-in-law. Any recommendations? It could be at any Disney park, Disney Springs, or Disney Resort. My husband especially loved Ohana and La Hacienda last time we went, but we are very open to trying something new. Thanks in advance for any recommendations. I've enjoyed listening to your show since 2018. Marie's out in Centennial, Colorado. Where are you going for a big victory dinner?
It's tough to say. So we're talking the half marathon. I know, like, when I run a full, I'm not even, like, hungry that day. Like, I want to have my big dinner the next day.
Oh, God, yeah, the next day. You're just
wanting to. But half marathons can be a little different. Like, I say just stick with the Epcot theme. You know, the whole race is, like, I always think of, like, the half marathon, is especially in January, is very Epcot-driven. You start there, you end there. So I'd say, like, maybe, like, a Via Napoli or something. Like carve up, get some pizza afterwards.
I've gone there. That's right after my first full marathon. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I remember Mallory fell asleep. I should have been the one sleeping. We got on, you know what? We got on a plane right after that. We ate at Via Napoli. I didn't even shower. Like, I just got on a plane and came home.
That's gross.
I know that is gross, but I didn't have time. That was
the Progressive commercial going to talk about that. Like,
exactly.
Your parents didn't do that, Mike. Yeah, I'm sure.
Man, that guy smells like he just ran a marathon today. Guess what? I did. I wouldn't do that again. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Okay. So good luck and hopefully see you down there. That'll be a good time. Last comment here before we got to get out of here. Bob in the live chat says, and he's helping us out here. I love this. I took my wife on a Port Orleans Riverside carriage ride back in 2016. I was able to book it 180 days out through 407-939-7529. This obviously may have changed. The wife loved it. We met up with my parents and our six kids for dinner at Trails Inn. Phenomenal experience and nice time alone with the wife.
Yep.
There you go.
That's awesome. I like how Bob has that phone number programmed in his phone in case if he ever wants another nice time with the wife. Exactly. Like, all right, I can dial this number and go to Riverside.
Exactly. I did something stupid. Okay. We're going to go on carriage ride though. You know, that's kind of stuff I need.
Got to have that on speed dial.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for the great list of questions. We'll do more next Wednesday. If you want a question answered, send them to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener questions in the title and we'll get that queued up. Or you can join us at around 5:45 Eastern on Monday as we answer your questions. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency. Disney has recognized them for truly being the best of the best for the amount of trips they book each year. Plus, the feedback they get from their guests. Are the guests satisfied? Are they getting what they expect? And, you know, I'm proud to say that the Magic for Less gets great reports, one of the best travel agencies out there year after year, and I'm glad to partner up with them. So for your next Disney trip, just visit themagicforless.com. Mention the show when you fill out that quote form, and we'll be planning a great trip together. Again, themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help us out. And thank you to our patrons. You guys support the show. You guys make this all happen, and I couldn't do it without you. And our patrons get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you want to get in on that, get all the details over at patreon.com/brguestpodcast. You can follow the show at Instagram and Twitter. At brguestpod. I'm at brguestmike. You can follow Scott at epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T, and at Palm Trees of Disney. And of course, join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We take your calls. You don't have to wait to answer your question. Call in. We talk about it. We have a good time. And, you know, we wrap up the weekend. So Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We'll see you on Facebook and YouTube. All right, we'll be back again on Friday with more fun Disney talk. So until then, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.